As we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we do want the lyrics of the songs that we just sang, Lord, to sink deeply into our minds and into our hearts. God, the words that we just sang, may they not just be empty words that come out of our mouths but have no meaning. But we pray that we would mean everything that we just sang, that you would be our all in all, that we would seek you with all that we have and never give up. Father, we recognize that there are a lot of challenges and difficulties and struggles in this life, things that will discourage us, things that depress us, things that make us anxious. And it's very, very easy for our minds to wander away from you, for us to look to other people, other places for help, for comfort. But God, may we remember that you are the one who promises peace to us, a peace that goes beyond all understanding, a peace that we may not immediately feel, but a peace that lasts. A peace that lasts for eternity. And so, Father, I pray that we would not be tricked, that we would not find temporary satisfaction or temporary comfort in other things, but that we would come before you wholly and completely seeking you. Father, we do want to continue to pray for this world. We want to pray for the federal election coming up in 3 weeks. Father, you are the sovereign king of all of the earth, of all of the universe. And you tell us that no one goes into authority without you allowing it. And so, Father, regardless of who or which political party we align ourselves with, we are all on your side. We are all part of your kingdom. And so, God, we pray that whoever gets elected into office, that we would pray for them, that we would lift them up to you, that we would pray for this country, that this country would turn to you in repentance of sins and in worship of who you are, the one true living God. God, we pray for other countries around the world, the tensions between the U.S. and Iran, the protests in Hong Kong. Father, we pray for your hand to be upon these places, that they would know that you are God. For it is only in you that we can find true and everlasting peace. Father, we pray for the word that we are about to hear. We ask that you would stir your spirit in each and every one of us to speak to us, that you would speak to us personally and speak to us as one body. Open our ears, open our minds, and open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we start the recording if we haven't started the recording? Today's passage continues in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to be looking at three short verses today. There is a typo in there. But we're going to look at verses 44 to 46. Matthew 13, starting from verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. I have a friend, his name is John. He owns a metal detector. I don't know if you know anybody that actually owns a metal detector, but my friend has one. He wanted to start a coin collection when he was in university, and so he went out and got a metal detector. And so he'd go over to his friends' houses, he'd take the metal detector and just go through their backyard. Sometimes he'd go to the beach and just walk along the beach with his metal detector. And one time he went to his wife's uncle's house. The house is 100 years old, so a really old house. And he started going around the backyard. All he ended up finding that day were broken light bulbs and nails that were 100 years old. They were square-headed nails. But he didn't find anything that had tremendous value. But he told me afterwards he was very satisfied with what he did. Because his wife's family, they have young children. And they like to play outside. And if he hadn't found those broken light bulbs, if he hadn't found those nails sticking out of the ground, there would have been a chance that one of those kids would have been hurt. And so for him, it was very worthwhile to have done what he did. So my friend, even though he was looking for treasure, he didn't find it. But he did find something that still had value. In our first parable, we see this man who finds a treasure in a field. Now, a lot of people, when they read this passage, myself included, when I used to read this passage, I used to think that this man was like a farmer. He was a worker. And he was working in a field. Maybe he was digging up holes to plant seeds. And he stumbles upon a treasure. But as I was studying and as I was reflecting on this passage this week, I realized that that might not be the case. You see, this man could have easily been a treasure hunter. He could have been like my friend who went around to different places looking for treasure. If we read it this way, if we read it as a man who's actually seeking a treasure, we see more of a connection with the parable that follows. The parable that follows is talking about a merchant who is also searching for something of value. He's looking for fine pearls. And what these two parables have in common is that there is a person who is looking for treasure. And when that person finds the treasure, he is willing to give up all that he has to obtain it. See, all of us, we have something of value in our life. That could be money, it could be material possessions like an iPhone, a computer, a car. We could value our fame or our success. Our motivation, our purpose in life could be our most valuable thing. And while we do have things of value in our lives, at the same time, we are also continuing to look for more, are we not? We're never quite satisfied with what we have. You know, the iPhone 11 just came out. Even if you have the iPhone 10, I bet you there were some of you who thought, I want the iPhone 11. I see some heads turning. We always think about what we can get next. All of us, we are actually treasure hunters. We are all looking for something of value. There's a book, it's called You Are What You Love. It's written by a man named James Smith, and in his book, he describes a scene from a movie. The movie's name is Stalker. And Stalker is a man who leads two other people, their names Professor and Writer, to a room. And the reason they're going to try to find this room is because they've heard rumors about this room. This room, when you get there, it will give you exactly what you want. It will give you your heart's desire. So the room sounds amazing. Who doesn't want their heart's desire? So Professor, Writer, they're following Stalker to get to this room. And the closer they get to the room, Professor and Writer, they actually start getting nervous. Because they start thinking, what if the thing I want isn't actually the thing I think it is? What if underneath my consciousness, there's something else more that I want that I'm not even aware of? You see, the room doesn't give you what you think you want. The room gives you what you most deeply desire. And sometimes we may not be aware of what that is. And that's where the problem lies for most of us, is we're constantly looking for satisfaction and we constantly think this thing is going to give it to me. But we really don't know what we want. And so what Jesus offers us here in these two parables is the solution to that. He says, I know what you want. I know what you really need. And he gives us the answer. The answer is the kingdom of heaven, as we've been talking about over the past month. He says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. You know, we talked last week about how the kingdom of heaven, it's inevitable. The growth of the kingdom of heaven is inevitable. It just keeps growing. And it leads to this glorious future. I was reading through the book of Revelation chapter 21 as a devotional. And if you want to get a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven looks like, read Revelation chapter 21. It paints this amazing picture of what the new heavens will look like. But the thing about the kingdom of heaven is that not everybody sees it as a treasure. The value of the kingdom of heaven isn't always obvious. For example, in the parable, the man, he finds a treasure in a field. But you have to wonder, what kind of field is he in? It's likely that the field isn't in a very good condition because the owner is no longer there. The field probably has overgrown weeds, dried out grass. There's probably animal poop everywhere in this field. If you were to walk by a field like that, would you want to buy such a field? Probably not. But it's because he sees the treasure in this field that he goes and buys it. And the same with the merchant. He's looking for fine pearls. Pearls, they are very valuable. They're very beautiful. But what do you find pearls in? You find them inside clams. And have you ever seen a clam? How many of you looked at a clam and was like, yes, I want to buy a clam? They're not the most beautiful looking animals out there. But again, inside of that clam, there is a value. There's this show, it's called Storage Wars. I don't know if any of you have seen the show Storage Wars, but it's a show that my friends and I watched a lot when we were in university. In this show, people go to storage units that have been abandoned. They're given a few minutes to look inside the storage unit. They can't move or touch anything. And then the unit gets auctioned off. There's a person that sells the unit. And so people are willing to pay hundreds of dollars for a unit without really knowing what's inside. All they see is what's available, what they can see with their eyes. They can't go digging. So they're never sure what they're going to get. And as we watch the show, sometimes the people that buy these units lose a lot of money. They'll spend $1,000 on it. And everything that they find inside that storage unit may be worth $200. And so they lose $800. But sometimes they find a unit that is extremely valuable. In one episode, a guy, he pays $275 for a unit. It's filled with old salon supplies, you know, like hairspray and stuff like that. Not something of tremendous value, especially to a guy. But after he dug through all of the mess, he found a grand piano underneath all of the supplies, and he was able to make over $10,000 from that piano. And so now imagine yourself going to a storage auction. You spot these priceless pieces of art hiding in the back. No one else has noticed it. And so the bidding starts. And the bidding is going up to thousands of dollars. And you're going in your head, you're thinking about all the money that you have that you can spend to buy these priceless pieces of art. Maybe you have a few $1,000s in your bank account. You have a car. You have a house. Maybe everything you have is worth, you know, $300,000. If the auction price were to get up to that high, would you pay for it? Would you sell everything that you had in order to buy this unit that had the priceless pieces of art? Probably. Well, the value of the kingdom of heaven, it's even greater than that. You see, Jesus describes the man and the merchant as selling everything that they have in order to obtain this treasure. But I want to make something clear here. You can't buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not actually purchasable. And neither can you sell the kingdom of heaven. It's not like once we get the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is saying, now you have this valuable treasure, go ahead, sell it for millions of dollars. You know, it doesn't work like that. If you sold everything that you had in order to buy a treasure, in order to buy something you really wanted, would you then turn around and sell that? If you do, then it shows that whatever you bought, it really wasn't that valuable to you in the first place. What is valuable to you is money, it's profit. But the kingdom of heaven is not like that. The kingdom of heaven has value in itself. It's not to be turned around for profit. The kingdom of heaven is of immense and immeasurable value. So what does this mean for you and me? Well, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we willing to give up for the kingdom of heaven? See, like I said, it's not something that we can purchase. God is not asking us to literally go out, sell everything we have, so that we can buy the kingdom of heaven. But he is asking us, what are you willing to give up for me? Is it our phones? Is it our homes? Our cars? Is it our comfort? Our security? The man and the merchant in these parables, they sold everything that they had in order to obtain the treasure. The kingdom of heaven, it requires an all-in response. That's not saying that we can't have things of the world. That doesn't mean all of us stop working and become homeless. You know, God doesn't want his kingdom to be full of homeless, non-working people. That's not what God is saying. But he does want us to think about, are the worldly possessions that you have accumulated worth more to you than the kingdom of heaven? Or would you be willing to give them up? You know, a few months after I started working as your pastor last year, I didn't tithe regularly. I didn't give money back to the church. Ruby and I, we had just moved here. We had some money in our savings account, but we also spent a lot of money on moving and settling in. And so after I got the job, my first thought was, oh, I need to start saving up money again. And so at that time, my treasure was security, was financial security. And so I didn't tithe, because at that time, money was more precious to me than the kingdom of God. But then God reminded me a few months in that I am part of the kingdom of heaven, that he's the one that provided me with the job in the first place, and I need to trust him. He told me that my security, it doesn't lie in my financial stability, but it lies in the promises that he makes. And in the Bible, God tells us, look at the birds of the air. Look at the grass in the field. Do you not see how much I take care of the birds? Do you see birds looking for jobs? Do you see the grass working for money? No, but he takes care of them. And he says, how much more are you worth to me than birds and grass? You see, God sees us as tremendously valuable. So much so that he would send his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that he could be in relationship with you and me. That's how much value God puts into you. How much value do you put into him? So I started tithing. I started tithing because I see the value of the kingdom of heaven. It's not something that I buy. It's not like when I give every month, I'm thinking, oh, I'm purchasing myself some land in the kingdom of God. No, but when I tithe, I see it as contributing to the work that God is doing. You know, we as a church, when we collect the money from the members, we use that so that we can rent the school or we can rent this place. We use that money so we can rent the rooms in Mississauga Chinese Presbyterian Church. We also support missionaries. You know, just the youth short-term mission trip last month. That was an amazing show of generosity from all of you. When you gave, you were giving to the kingdom of heaven. But you know, the value of the kingdom of heaven is not just measured in terms of money. It can also be measured in terms of time. Time is often a forgotten resource that God can use. He wants us to use our time wisely, and he wants us to use our time for his kingdom work. And I'll have to confess to you that in the past few weeks, I wasn't exactly doing that. You know, I got caught up in watching a Taiwanese drama. And instead of doing, you know, reading a book or exercising or even getting more rest, I was watching this show. And it's not that God doesn't want me to watch a show, but I think the way that I watched it was more of like a binge watching kind of thing, where I would watch like 4 or 5 episodes a day, which was like 4 or 5 hours. And I could have spaced it out over a longer period of time. I could have just watched one episode a day, and then I could have used the rest of my time for something else. To go all in to the kingdom of heaven is to give God our best. And that means give God the best of our time as well. You know, for me, the best time period that I do my work is in the mornings. Mornings into early afternoon is when I am most productive. However, because I was staying up late and watching that show, I ended up sleeping in a bit more than I wanted to. And so I lost those really good hours, those good productive hours. Fortunately, I'm done with the show, and so now I'm getting back into the habit of spending my mornings in quiet times with the Lord. And it's been helpful. It really has. Being a part of the kingdom of heaven, it requires an all-in response, where we give all of ourselves. But it's also not a giving of ourselves that is reluctant or begrudging. If you look again at verse 44, when the man found that treasure in that ugly, ugly looking field, he went away joyfully, sold everything he had joyfully so that he could buy that field. He's happy to do it because he knows that what he is about to gain is so much more valuable than what he is giving up. It's so much better than what he had. Do you see the kingdom of heaven like that? Do you see the kingdom of heaven as so much better than anything and everything you have? See, all the things that he had before, they were never going to be able to satisfy. And you can look at all the things in this world, fame, money, success, whatever it may be. You can look at those things, and they're never going to be able to fully satisfy. But the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, to be in relationship with God, that's something that will satisfy us. That's something that will last. So when we give, when we sacrifice, including when we tithe, including when we spend a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning coming to church, or a Saturday night going to youth group, or a Thursday evening going to prayer meeting, when we are doing these things, let's not just think about them as, oh, we're giving something up. But we are also gaining something. We are gaining a treasure that is so valuable, so glorious, and so infinite. We deepen our relationship with God. And so let's go all in for him. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I confess that I do not always go all in for you. That sometimes you get the leftovers of my time. You get the leftovers of my energy. You get the leftovers of my money. Father, I confess that to you, and I repent of that. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters here, that we may be like this man and the merchant in these parables, that we would go looking for treasure, that we would seek treasure in the kingdom of heaven. And God, when we find it, and some of us have found it, would we be willing to give up everything and all things in order to have it, in order to keep it? Father, we thank you for the precious gift of the kingdom of heaven, that it is free. But Lord, you also require an all-in response from us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us and remind us of how we can live all in for you. Because, Lord, you went all in for us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.